B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tonight, in what could be their final game ever at Oracle Arena, they score their biggest win here. So dominant, so impressive, so overwhelming, it's going to make people wonder if maybe it's not their final game at Oracle Arena.
Near circle to Bruss, centers, backhand, they score!
.617-779-0985. That's how both games went last night. Bruins and Celtics both getting a win. I think the bigger story of the night is the Celtics, who came alive in a way they haven't looked in quite some time in their game out on the West Coast late last night. That, to me, is the story of the day. Unfortunately, that game happened late at night. Late start. Probably didn't have a full audience all the way through, but if you made it till the end, you were rewarded, I would say, for sticking around for the Celtics last night. I got to say, Bruins ended, was feeling great, loved the comeback, loved the overtime win. And I thought, oh no, now the Celtics are going to ruin this night. Nope, they didn't do that.
No.
Celtics put it together, and they played their ass off last night. I mean, everything that you want to see from them, they did. Offensively, defensively, playing as a unit, playing as a team. Gordon Hayward had himself a good night. I thought Jaylen Brown had himself a good night. I thought there were individuals that had great nights, and I just thought as a team, that was the most impressive part of the night. They all sort of indicated that after the game. The tone has sort of changed a little bit with the Celtics over the last day, and they all have indicated that whatever went on that long flight to the West Coast was helpful. They looked different last night. I'm hoping they look different again tonight. I'm hoping that they did not play well last night just because it was the Warriors.
Yeah, they got to come out of the gate fast again. I think they get off to a fast start. I think that helps them. You know, instead of chasing, they've been chasing for so long. You think, okay, got to mount another comeback here. Eventually, that wears on you. And I don't care about the score. They won the game. So, whatever, 128 to whatever, you know, 90-some. So, you win by, 34 points. It's about how did they look. You're right. It looked like they were into it. They played defense. They hustled. They busted their ass. They shot okay. It wasn't great. It's not like they hit 70% of the shots. But they took good shots. And everybody spread the minutes out. Like, you know, Hayward got off to a great start in the first half. That's huge for a guy like that. That's a confidence builder for him. He needs that. If you're meeting with a mental coach, you need more nights like that consistently.
They pressured defensively.
They had each other's back.
You know, the Baines, ball movement was terrific.
The charge call on Baines, with Cousins, and like you talked about it earlier, with Terry Rozier stepping in, Tatum gets pushed, Baines gets up, he's screaming in his face. Sean Grandy's talking smack on the broadcast. All of it. It looked good last night. That's all. It looked like they were engaged. And credit to whoever aired their crap out on the plane. Whoever said, let's go. Anybody got a problem? Let's talk about this.
So in terms of flipping the switch, they did it for a night last night.
So they could do it. That's the part that pulls your hair out for the coach, right? Or for ownership.
Now, granted, the 33-point margin that they won by last night, I don't think is truly...
I don't think they
would have won by 33 if Golden State had any
Clay
sort
Thompson.
Of effort last night.
Well, if they had Clay Thompson, too. He was out.
Okay, so it's this win, to me, is not remarkable because they beat Golden State, because Golden State played like dog crap last night and they got called out by their coach and their players were all sorts of angry. No, you could see the effort and intensity from the Celtics regardless of the opponent. Okay, they could have beat Sacramento last night by this margin and looked the way they did, and we'd still say this about the Celtics today. But my question about this is, would they have done this against Sacramento? Or were they only motivated? Were they motivated by it being Golden State? Or were they motivated because they had had enough of being what they were? I hope it's the latter, not the former.
I hope it would be the latter, but I think the opponent does help you elevate, but it should help you elevate on Sunday. So you can't say that. on two back-to-back games like that. That's a good team you had in here.
I would like to see
the
a
best
stretch.
Part is they didn't win by shooting like 70% and have one of these anomaly games where they hit like 15 out of 18 three-pointers. No, the percentages were fairly normal, like 50% from the field, 40% from three. I mean, they were good. Those are good percentages, but it's not like these astronomical game that you say, oh, they just shot the lights out, nothing you can do there. They actually played well as a team. They played in their normal setting, but they played better as a team.
We should do when producers aren't listening. Like when we do when the hosts aren't listening. Because I said it's not like they went out and shot 70%. I used the exact same number.
Use the same number?
Exact same number.
Nice.
Yeah.
Brad's in the car today. Hi, Brad.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to real quick chip in and say, first off, that I agree with you guys about the Celtics. I noticed that last night when I was watching the game, like you guys said, the ball movement was great. And I saw that they had 38 assists last night as a team, and they're averaging like about 26, 27. So, I mean, I don't think the Celtics' problem this year has mainly been like all these locker room problems that apparently have been, you know, the rumors, whatever. I think the real problem is that they're just not sharing the ball with each other.
Why do you think they're not sharing the ball with each other, Brad?
Well, I just think that they're not sharing the ball with each other as much as they could. I mean, Kyrie's got the killer instinct, and sometimes he tries too hard, I think, to try to be the hero.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, though, is, oh, their problems are not off the court. They're only on the court. The off-the-court issues lead to the on-court issues. You can't separate the two. You can't divide them. And say, oh, they don't like each other, but then that hasn't led to any problems. No, come on. The issues that they've had, including the fighting among the group, which was referenced last night by Kyrie Irving himself, would tell you, as he indicated, that those issues impacted the way they were playing. Of course they did. Come on. Here's your noodle. Think about it. Of course those things matter. It's mattered for this team. They played well last night because they had some sort of awakening. I hope it lasts. I hope we see it again tonight. You will hear from Kyrie Irving on the game and his performance and what he's done for the team, how he has helped save the Celtics. He'll tell you all about it. That's coming up after the action update. Get a check of things with the fellas in the desert.
Now, a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. The new normal has arrived. The moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market is revealed is one that's now creating a global market. Experience the new normal at MedMen.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The streak ends for the Kansas Jayhawks. They will not win a 15th straight Big 12 regular season title. They fall to Oklahoma 81-68 at the Lloyd Noble Center. The Sooners were 2-point underdogs and covered by 15, paying out plus 120 on the money line. Number 3 Duke survives a scare from Wake Forest 71-70 as the Demon Deacons cover the 24.5-point spread by 23.5. Duke shot just 41% for the field, and they were 16 of 26 from the free throw line. Duke says Zion Williamson will return for the ACC tournament. For VSIN.com, Mike Sennett, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody.
You know, I was watching CP talk to him tonight about, like, coming here and getting a win. And, you know, in the regular season, it's always great to have great matchups against great teams. But you hope that everybody can be healthy. And, you know, if not, then you want to take advantage of, you know, the offensive and defensive schemes where you can. And I think we did a great job of that tonight. But there was just a sense of togetherness, and we were having some fun out there.
+1 777-979-0985, the phone number for you here on Zolak and Bertrand, talking a little Celtics as well as Bruins from last night. Good night for both teams. 617-779-0985. That's Kyrie Irving after the Celtics win last night. He sounds a little different. He sounds a little more upbeat after just a day ago talking about, you know, not wanting the cameras and being a little down and all that, and 2 days removed from basically not talking at all in the Celtics locker room on Sunday noon. Sounds better. There are still times where he says things that make me shake my head. Like this. Last night, great win for the team. They all come together. Kyrie says as much and then immediately goes from that down the path of me.
You know, we all haven't been feeling too great, you know, as of late. So it's not short of that. And, you know, it's a choice that we all had to make, you know, being down, you know, with 17 or 18 games left and knowing what we're gearing up for. You know, it's my job to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis. And, you know, with my attitude and with my effort, you know, being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as, you know, me, you know, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as that my teammates are feeling good, then, you know, we're in a good place.
Let me teach you. Teacher, teach me. It's unbelievable. No, it's believable because it is. That's the NBA. That's him, Braun, and Durant. It's up to me to teach them. Them that took it to Game 7 of Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Same guys. But they don't know. It's still there. It's that. That's still that. I'm above them. But I did a good job leading, and they did a great job following me. It's like Hugh Jackson. I'm the guy in the big chair. That's what that's like.
No. He's the reason they won last night.
Yep, tell them.
He was able to give everyone confidence.
Al, tell them why I make decisions. I sit in the big chair.
He decided to show them how they could have confidence, and therefore, because he allowed that, and he bestowed that on them, that they were able to come back and win the way they were last
Maybe
night.
We should probably
come back from horrible Sunday to great Tuesday night effort. It's because of Kyrie.
Should we have him on a 12:50 instead of the coach?
He's teaching them how to win this way.
So this whole tailspin's been his fault the whole time then?
Apparently. He decides when they play well and when they don't.
Thank you.
Because he has been able to give them the ability to play with confidence.
No, therefore, Jim's joking, but he's right. Confidence. If that's the fact, and if that facts are facts, and you're the leader, and they follow you, then yeah, when they play like dog crap, you're leading them like dog crap. Call both ways.
Thanks, Kyrie. How would you feel if you were his teammate hearing that?
I'd feel great after the first part we played, and I would be right back to where we were before we get on that plane to come out here to start this West Coast trip. That's how I'd feel, because that's exactly what he's been saying for weeks, the second part of that, the latter part. It's about me.
I wouldn't care. I would just be like, all right, he's going to say this stuff, but as long as he's playing on the floor and we're all playing together, then fine. Yeah, let him say whatever he wants.
That's not how you would feel. It's not how you would feel at all.
No, these guys, the egos of these guys, man. They always feel it's about them, right? You see Jaylen Brown feeling it last night. Even Bane, rip your face off, Cousins. Yeah, they all feel it. Terry Rozier even wanted to get in a fight. He was feeling it.
I don't know what that has to do with Kyrie and his comments last night.
No, because they all, of course it would piss them off, is my point, because you feel it's about you.
You
feel good about the way you play. It's not just you,
it's
me too.
So we come together as a team. We all get on the same page.
That's what
he
said.
We play well. We do everything the right way tonight. And then at the end of the night, you're still talking about how you were able to provide that for us, and you were the one that gave us the confidence to play well. Screw you.
Did we not?
It just allows him to go back down this path again where – I just wish he would stop doing that, because he wants to tell you on one hand, like he did yesterday, or actually 2 days ago now. I don't even want to call them the young guys. They're my teammates. Well, you don't treat them like teammates. You still treat them like kids. In fact, you treat everybody else on your team like children. That's what you do when you talk like that. You diminish the efforts of everybody else. You make it all about yourself. Stop doing that. Even if you feel that way. Stop saying it so that everyone else in the room doesn't have to hear that, because you're not going to be well received if that's what you keep doing. Stop that. Stop doing that thing. Yeah, Gordon Hayward played well last night because Kyrie taught him how to play with confidence. Come on. He did say, though, the long plane ride did help on the way out to the West Coast.
That long plane ride helped us out. I'll just say that. That long plane ride helped us out. You know, we needed it. We needed it. It was just, we were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world, and it doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this. So
he had to be the ringleader of that, right? He's the leader.
Must have been.
Because he wouldn't have said that.
Must have been.
I'll just leave it at that. That means I brought something up. It's a good plane ride out. We had talk. I started the talk. I'll just leave it at that. I'll put words in his mouth. But are we being unfair to him to where we're not listening to the questioning prior to it? Like, because we poked on about,
unfair.
Was
he asked about leadership? I give him credit for that answer, because what Jaylen Brown did the day before or whenever he did talk to Gary Washburn. Like, that doesn't help the situation.
No, you backdoored people.
Because he said, you know, the
infighting. You backdoored your team.
The infighting that has happened, the fighting out probably outwardly against the media and some of the lashing out and some of the comments, whether that means Marcus Morris, whether that means what you got yesterday in the newspaper in the Boston Globe with Jaylen Brown. Those comments aren't helping anybody. It's not helping the situation. We enjoy it because we want to know what's going on. But it's probably not helping the room. And so what he did was he revealed something, Kyrie did, in a way that helped sort of kill that storyline a little bit. You know what? We decided as a group we didn't want to be like this anymore. And so we've started to come together. Well, that's revealing something. That's, you know, pulling back the curtain a little bit on what's happening internally. And yet it's a positive. Because we say, okay, hey, he said something changed on that flight, and we believe him because look at the way you played. But at the end of the day, it's how you play. And so you play well, you could say that and have it be believable. If you go back to sucking again, then you're going to have an issue saying, well, what happened now? You told us that because you all came together, you played well. So when you play terrible, does that mean you all came apart again? It's a fair question to ask. That's why they got to keep this going. They got to keep it rolling. Got to keep doing this tonight. Here's a final thing from Kyrie. We didn't play this earlier, but about his perspective, because, you know, he can't speak without getting all introspective on things and talking about, you know, life.
One thing Brent said earlier today was that he thought it hit you that even though things haven't gone the way you hoped so far, that there's still a lot of season left. Uh-huh. What went into that shift in perspective and what made you kind of come to that realization?
Well, I mean, it's... Well, I mean, you know, it gets a little overwhelming, like I said, but this is just the business I'm in. You know, the business part of it is just what makes it, you know, terrible for me, honestly, dealing with all this. You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. And then basketball part is just I have to keep that fun. You know, that's where I'm great. That's where I love to play, be with around my teammates. That's what makes me happy. And business part of it is going to be the business. Personal side of being out here with my teammates is the only thing that should matter. And, you know, that wasn't really a change of perspective. It was just letting the guard down completely, you know, and just not thinking I'm at odds with everybody. So, you know, it's not a competition in this locker room. You know, it's competition out there when we're going to war. So that's the most important thing. And talking with Brad was very helpful. Talking to Danny was very helpful. And just expressing myself rather than just keeping it all in. That made it very easy to just go out and just have fun playing basketball.
Who created the business BS part side of it that he hates so bad? You're the one that sat there at a Celtic thing and said, I'm signing back here. And then during the Super Bowl week, you dropped it that you don't know anybody bleep. See you January or July 1st, or whatever the hell comment he said there. So you took back what you said earlier. You've created this in or out, in or out. At least I give him credit for, you know, answering. Okay, Brad, yeah, okay, that's my coach. He didn't Durant it and go, who? Who said that? It's going to be interesting.
All right, the last part of that is the part that I'm interested in. He talked to both Brad and Danny Ainge.
When did you do that, on the plane?
I don't know.
Probably.
He indicates recently, since Sunday, sometime between Sunday and last night's game.
Well, I mean, what was it, 3 games ago where they saw him and Danny? He was in the ice tub and extended conversation in his locker
and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a week and a half ago. Could have been with Brad on a plane.
We'll do whatever you want.
Yes.
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
Go talk to Durant, too. I know his mom. I used to go watch him play in college.
Yeah.
DC kid. I hung out with his mother in the stands. I was recruiting him.
I was willing to get fined for that.
Yeah.
I'm willing to get fined for you too, Kyrie. Whatever it is you need.
Ask if he wants to play golf.
I'll tamper with anybody and everybody. As long as you stay.
We should do the rest of the show like this.
As long as we still get married on July 1st, yeah. I'll do whatever the hell you want.
Where you
want
to go on honeymoon? We could go to Sandals. It's all inclusive. We go Chipotle. I'll Chipotle float in to Sandals. I'll build a Chipotle at Sandals.
And you can eat there. Just so you know, though, I don't drink. So I'm not going to be that much fun on the honeymoon.
Just get me Durant. Tell Kevin he could come too. Can he swim?
We'll have Christmas in July. Basketball Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you want, we'll do.
We'll really show him what Christmas in the city's like.
The world is yours, Kyrie.
Yeah.
The world is yours.
It's already ready for headlines.
I hope so.
I know.
First, our introduction.
Solak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Solak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lee coming the other way, throws it away, picked up by Rozier, shovels it ahead to Gordon Hayward. He'll take it himself. Two-hand slam, and Gordon Hayward has a 30-point night here at Oracle Arena.
Whoa. I mean, it was fun tonight. What do we have, like 38 assists or something? I mean, that's utilizing all of our weapons, and I think I mentioned it earlier, but just moving the ball, moving bodies, it's hard for them to catch up to us, and you know, then you can really exploit different matchups and stuff. And so that was fun tonight.
Last night in the hotel, everything went oh well. The body,
I can see you lying back in your satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess.
617-779-0985. Gordon Hayward with a night last night for the Celtics. I think it was based on the spot, based on the opponent, based on everyone being out there at the same time, one of his best games as Celtic, if not the best game he's ever had as a Celtic. I think you have to factor everything, all the circumstances that went into last night.
Yeah, the pressure of how you haven't been playing
the
well, too.
The fact that he was coming off good one team. Of his worst games as a Celtic, going into one of his best, I just think it was a great night. Mm. Terrific night for him last night. And we had started to get on him, because how long do you have to wait? We even talked yesterday about that story that Jackie McMullen wrote about him. And, you know, there was a part in that story that we didn't touch on yesterday, Zoe. But I saw brought up. I actually saw a tweet yesterday.
Tweet? On Twitter?
A tweet on the Twitter machine from Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe. He complimented the piece, saying, "A classic and brilliant piece from Jackie McMullen. The waiting for Gordon Hayward is the hardest part. This is the part I've been saying all season in regards to Hayward." This is Gasper talking, and he screenshotted the story with this part highlighted. "Still, because the Celtics considered Hayward a key cog in their championship aspirations, they determined that the best way to help him rehab was to let him work out the kinks on the court. It was a strategy that backfired miserably. As Hayward faltered early in the season, his play became stilted, hesitant. His teammates observed this, some from the bench, and chafed at their own lack of opportunity." This is about players being pissed about Gordon Hayward getting his minutes while they didn't get as many minutes as they would like.
Right.
And Gordon Hayward underperforming. And so apparently Chris has said this all year long, that this was about, you know, the fact that the strategy on the part of the Celtics was ended up not working out. Does that mean the team is to blame for his struggles? Is that what's being suggested there? It feels that way a little bit. And I don't think that's right. So if a guy is medically cleared, you can get him back out there. You don't. You shouldn't. Maybe the minutes were too heavy. I agree with that. Too many minutes at times. He didn't earn all of his minutes. But was the team somehow wrong to bring him back and let him play?
No, you're paying him.
Yeah, did it work out? No, but is that on the team? Is that on the strategy of letting him play?
If you're cleared, you play. Now you could cut minutes down, like you said. Maybe they overused the minutes. But man, it's taking him a while to do what he did last night.
All right, let's get to some of your calls on the Celtics. Brad Stevens will join us in 10 minutes. Brendan's in the car today. Brendan.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Not much. I feel like we could talk about this all day long. The only mistake made with Hayward was that he was in the starting lineup. And they weren't playing him because they're paying him. They're playing him because of the player that he is when healthy. But I want to talk about Kyrie for a second. Zolak, you brought up a great question in the last segment about maybe are we being unfair listening to the context of the questioning to Kyrie. And I think that's 100% accurate that the media has been a little bit unfair. Now has I'll start with this, that Kyrie has not handled the situation with the media and everything and all that well. But I think the way that everything he says is being picked apart and taken out of context it's unbelievable that we're still beating this dead horse. Last week,
wait a minute.
I want to hear his example. Do you have an example?
I couldn't just pick one. So I'd have to go through.
Well, it's been happening so often. You'd think you'd have just one example of it. One.
Of what, being unfair? I mean, I can't go back and pick up all the questions from the media and mince up syllables and find out who's saying what. But
one, what's been unfair? What part has been unfair? What has he said that was unfairly portrayed?
No, just everything he says gets turned into something that he doesn't get along with his teammates or he's not happy here. It's just one thing after
Kyrie
the other.
Kyrie said last night that they were all fighting. that there was infighting.
Yeah, but so how many times do on professional sports teams where everybody's so competitive and trying to compete at a high level where not everybody gets along, not everybody has the same basketball philosophy, not everybody thinks the right shots were taken, not everybody thinks the right plays are being called. That's just how sports work. Like, not everybody.
No, I think it's how the NBA works. Shaq and Kobe could make it.
Brandon, you legitimately think that this team hasn't had more issues than typical issues in a given year with a team?
I mean, it's hard for us to say. We're not in that room. We're not
so
on
you
that.
You don't want to answer the question because then you might have to, you know, have some morsel of truth in your answer.
The problem is,
which is obviously the Celtics have been plagued with issues internally for the entire season. It's become pretty obvious by now.
Yeah, and the one outlier right now is Kyrie. He's a top 10 player. He's in your locker room. That's what's different than past years where you got a bunch of young, tough scrappers that are going to, you know, come together and play hard together as a team because that's what they had to do. That's how you had to compete. And now it's pretty visible that Kyrie's best player on the court for them.
Albert's in Rhode Island.
They have a tough time with it.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Albert?
What's up? So, as you guys know, I am not a fan of Boston anything, okay? So I am totally objective here.
Right.
You just asked that dude for dude.
And you're calling a Boston talk show. Go ahead. What do you got?
That doesn't necessarily make you objective.
No, that...
I'm going to be objective. That just called could it give you any example of how Kyrie's been treated unfairly. And I also think that Kyrie's an idiot, too. But he was at the All-Star game hanging with a friend of his, and that got twisted. He was talking at a distance. It got video cameraed, and it got video reviewed, and that somehow turned into, okay, him and Kevin Durant are going here next year. Child's play. So, 15 minutes ago, Kyrie, all he said was, that plane ride was good for us. You put it into, he said, he initiated the talk.
Well, he brought it up. Why would you bring it up if you didn't start it? You think the team responded well to what you did. He also said, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but
he's the leader. Come on, Albert. Nobody else would call that meeting.
No. He's absolutely not a leader. He is a clown. But what I'm trying to say is, it's like having 20. What he must feel like in the Boston media every day in the talks, but the fans trying to be hard at.
Well, it's different here. I agree with that.
Like he has 20 nagging wives following him around and asking him the same.
Albert, what do you think we'd do if we were doing radio in San Francisco today with Kevin Durant and his comments, the way he acted after the game? Same damn thing.
No. I believe that the Boston sports fan and the media people and the talk show hosts, I believe you guys try harder here. You relish in making things difficult for the athlete because you are a poor.
What are we supposed to kiss their ass?
Albert.
I think we're all pretty good at what we do.
Albert, you referenced, though, the situation at the All-Star game. You think that was only a local thing? Did you turn on ESPN or Fox Sports 1?
Yeah, but every
NBA
day.
NBA TV
but Beto,
or anything national?
In his face every single,
that's
yeah,
not a local
guys
thing.
Are in his face every day. But this is what's in his face every single day. He walks in the arena. He walks out. Kyrie, when are you leaving? When are you going? Whether he came back and retracted his statement about staying here, the bottom line is he said on July 1st, you'll know. So stop asking him. It's like a sixth grade.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with the repetitive leadership question. I do, and I think it does wear on.
By the way, the part about the hallway video getting turned into he's going to the Knicks and that he said two max deals, agreed. And we said that very thing on this show. That was too much of a reach. It was too much of a reach, and we defended Kyrie on that, on this show. I can't speak for other shows. I can speak for this one. That did seem absurd. The only thing that I would take away from that All-Star weekend is he seemed a whole hell of a lot more happy with those guys than he does his own teammates.
Couldn't wait to get
that. That's
down
all that we said about that. That video, though, was blown out of proportion by many, and I would say that it was more so nationally than locally.
And prior to it, too.
Except for maybe Felgermas.
We had Brad on. The morning show had Danny Ainge on that week prior, and they all got their ducks in line, as it seemed, as a Celtic organization, that, hey, he's got to work out and he's got to run, so... What better place to run than in an actual All-Star game that really isn't 100%? It's like an 85-80% type game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now joining us from the West Coast on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens. Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What are you taking for that cold? Anything? You got a little cold.
Man, it just, I think it's somewhere between just the cold that goes around and just a long season. But every year around this time, cold hits pretty good. It's just hard to get rid of because there's always something else to do the next day.
It is. Let's play basketball. Yeah, tough couple games there. What changed? What's the one thing that changed to let your team and make your team play the way it did last night, and how can you bottle that up moving forward?
Well, I didn't know if we'd win or not, but I felt like Monday's practice and Tuesday's walkthrough were the best, most focused, combined with best vibe we've had in a while. And so you thought you'd play well. I don't think Golden State played great, so I don't want to overdo it. But I do think that we played really connected. Defensively, we were really engaged. Until the third quarter, where I thought we got a little bit lazy and gave up some of those transition layups that have been hurting us, we were really good. And then offensively, we just, I think the stat you can always point to with our team is when we have a high number of assists, we really roll offensively. We had 38 last night, the most that we've had this season. And I just thought we were playing with a real purpose to get great shots. We keep track of what we consider to be great shots. And yesterday was by far, the most purposeful we've been, in a while.
Kyrie said last night after the game that the flight to the West Coast helped and that there was some positive things that came out of that. Were you a part of that? And do you think that that did contribute to the way you played last night?
Well, I mean, I think this whole experience, right, is you just, regardless, the next game's coming, and it's all about how you respond and react. And I've said this many times this year, the best thing that our previous teams have done is they stay in the moment in games and they move on after the game's over. This team hasn't done either very well. And until we get to the point where we do, then, we won't be as good as we can be. But I thought that Houston game was tough to swallow, coming off of the way we had played in our first few games out of the break, including, I thought we were good against Washington, but not great. And I just thought, it was a moment in time where people just have to decide, we still have a lot of season ahead of us. There's no reason to get down on ourselves. We have to make sure that we do what we need to do to play well. And that should be our focus. And, there were a lot of small conversations that happened, but that I think some of that stuff gets blown out of proportion. I think those happen all the time. And, I always kind of laugh at the team meeting thing because we literally have a team meeting every day. But I guess when there's got to point to something, I guess, when the play is so different, and I understand that. But I do think that coming out of that, I just think let's go to work and get ready for the Warriors, and let's get ready for this road trip and see if we can't play a little bit better. And now when we get together today, it's let's go to work and get ready for the Kings tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys played really well last night. I know you said that they didn't play well. Steve Kerr also echoed that. But do those type of games keep you up late at night too? Because, you're so disappointed in the Houston outcome, and then your team goes and responds the way they did last night. The tug and pull, the back and forth. Because it's like, what can I do to keep this thing rolling?
And I said this or talked about it the other day. This is about competing together. This has been this way all year. This is what it's about for this group. And I thought we made a real conscious choice to play the right way on both ends of the court yesterday. And I think that ultimately you're going to have days where you choose to do that and you don't make shots and you get beat, or the other team is great and you get beat. That's the reality, as Scott, of professional sports. Like, these other teams are good. They're good players and they're going to have nights, but we just haven't been consistent enough in choosing to play and compete together on both ends of the court at the level you need to have success. Now, I was reminded by a friend of mine yesterday prior to the game, there's a lot of teams that would trade places with us right now, but we haven't had as good of a year as we had hoped. That can all change with the right response. And I thought last night was good. And you know, we could play really well and really connected tonight and get beat. This is a good team who's played well all year and, you know, plays fast and plays tough. And but that's what we're shooting for. We need to compete together on both ends of the court. And to me, that's all it's about with this group.
Talking with Brad Stevens, Celtics head coach. Brad, yesterday Jackie McMullen had an in-depth feature story on Gordon Hayward and his season and the comeback from the injury, and it indicated with some quotes from members of the staff and also Gordon that there are still some mental hurdles that he's overcoming in his recovery. After a night like he had last night, is there sort of a process to keep that going for him, to whatever the review is or whatever it is that he does on a daily basis to prepare for the next game? Is there a way to sort of keep him in tune with what he was doing in last night's game?
Well, I think he was 12 for 16. First of all, the best part of that stat line is he got 16 shots up, you know, and I think he's shot 25 times since the All-Star break. He was a lot more, we were looking for him and he was very assertive, looking for his own shot. But the reality is he's not going to force plays that aren't there. He's just going to make the next right play. So there's going to be 30-point nights, and there's going to be nights where he doesn't get the double figures, but he still has a good impact on the game because he moves the ball, right? And I think that that's a critical, you know, you talk about, again, competing together on both ends of the court. You know, part of that is making the right read every single time, and he's been good at that. As far as, like, his work towards – continuing through the mental return, he's great about that. I mean, his work ethic day to day is, you know, as good as him and Ojale are together in the gym literally every single day, and on film together every single day with their position coach. And I never have any doubt in my mind of the work that's being done. And so it's good to see that rewarded. You know, it's funny because I think, and Jackie would have to be the one that answers this, but when Jackie talked to me about this 2 weeks ago, it was more of a, hey, look where Gordon's now made the jump, because it was coming off of the All-Star break and those two games before the All-Star break. But then obviously in our last five games, we've all been bad. And so I think even a little bit of the probably subtext of the article changed. But I do think it captured, and I read it, it was a really good article. I do think it captured, like, here's a guy who is working his butt off to try to get back. It's hard. And transitioning into a new situation, and there's going to be ups and downs with that. And we all have to realize that. But we don't expect 30 points out of him every game. But we do think that, you know, the more aggressive he can be, the better for us.
Would you agree, though, that last night for him, he was more aggressive and he looked more like himself, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, he has had, I think, what are we at, 3 30-point games off the bench now?
Yes.
And that's really unique. But you also, you know, when you're coming off of the last time you played a full season, you were an All-Star. There's high expectations that you put on yourself and that others put on you. And so the reality is he's had a lot of great moments. We haven't asked him to be a 30-point a game scorer, and we've just asked him to make the next right play. And so, you know, after every time where he has those big nights where he hits a ton of shots, those are often the times where you get the question, has he turned the corner? But I think he's had, in a lot of our other wins where he hasn't filled up a stat sheet like that, he's had a good impact just simply because he moves the ball and does his job.
DeMarcus Cousins versus Terry Rozier. Who you got?
I'm not gonna get into that stuff.
How about Cousins versus Baynes?
But I will say this. I love the fact that our guys stand up and you know, are thinking about their teammates in that moment. And I've always said, I think Baynes probably needs our help the least of anybody.
Does he have that wacko gene in him? Like, you know, everybody's got one on the
team.
I
know Rozier does. Just he's got that thing in his eye, man. That's not a guy you mess with.
I wouldn't. Hey, now I will tell you this. If I was, I would not mess with Terry or with Baynes. That's for sure. But, you know, but I think obviously That was a we took multiple charges in that game. Like that was a great take by Dave. I mean, that was a classic, like, take the first hit,
yep,
know the second hit's coming, and then you get run over on the second. It was just an excellent defensive play. And Cousins was obviously frustrated, but you know, I don't know if there's anything beyond last night. I thought that was just in the moment.
All right, Coach. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Coach. Keep
it rolling. Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.